Hello, Pastor Sam here. Welcome to Our City Church's YouTube channel. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for encouraging messages, you're in the right place. Please enjoy today's message and make sure to like and subscribe and comment and share it with a friend so it can encourage them too. Now, enjoy the message for today.
A lot of times what we do, we check our cell phones, right? All the time. We're always looking at our cell phones. I caught myself even today, and I had to throw it away. So I don't even want to get caught up in what I'm. Not that it was bad. I'm not trying to say that, but it was just we're so used to looking at our phones. We're so used to what happens is a lot of times it starts telling us low power mode, right? And what does low power mode do? It actually shuts your phone down from a lot of apps. It shuts your phone down from a lot of things that are sucking the power out of you. But it also does this. It alerts us that we are running out of power. Most of us are working on less than 20% energy. Most of us are in low power mode. And listen, we often neglect paying attention to what's going on in our minds. We often neglect on what's going on in our bodies. I don't know if many of y'all know, some of y'all know that, you know, I was in the hospital for 4 days, and it felt like 10 days. But I was pretty sick, and I kind of let it go, and even a week or so before, I had to go to the emergency room, and I just want to take a moment to thank my wife this morning. Shoo! She's been through this, the thick and the thin, and the hard and the easy, and hadn't been easy. There's been no part of it that's been easy. But I just want to thank you. I honor you. I appreciate you more than you know, more than you ever know. You got to honor the woman of God of this house. You all don't know what she does. You don't know that the attitude, the good attitude she does it in, even when she's up to her eyeballs and trying to get everything done, taking care of me, making sure that I stay home when I should stay home. But just taking care of everything, babe, you're awesome. And come on, let's give it up. I mean it. She's awesome. But I was pretty sick, and you know, when you're laying in a hospital bed, it's the first time in 59 years that I'd laid in a hospital. I'd spent the night in a hospital other than for someone else. But I was staring at a tan wall and a clock for 4 days, which felt like a month. And what it did, it gave me a time to reflect. Gave me a time to repent. It gave me a time to replenish and to sometimes our life just needs to be recalibrated. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we get, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but I had to learn and I had to be reminded that real true rest comes in knowing God. And God set the example of that in creation. God worked for 6 days and then he stopped. This shows God's character. This shows he could have made a six-day work. He could have made a six-day work week and said, forget about it, right? But creation communicates that God sees value in more than just production. In fact, he values rest so much so that he built a whole day called the Sabbath to rest. And what he did, he didn't just build that in. He declared it holy, not because of what happened on it, but because of what didn't happen on it. That day become holy through an act of stopping. And so many times, somewhere along the way, we decided we can improve on God's design, right? We convinced ourselves that rest is for the weak, that rest is stopping is for quitters, and constant productivity is the only way that we can get God's blessing and blessing in our own lives. Rest and Sabbath was created to show the importance of rest. He designed it for that reason. Anybody have a hard time sitting still? She had almost chained me to the house over the last 2 weeks. And I had to put my cell phone up a few times. She took it from me a couple of times. I was like, hey, come on. But there was freedom in that, y'all. You don't realize how chained you are to something that you're looking at all the time or buzzing, or you feel like you have to, come on, I'm talking to somebody. You feel like you have to be able to communicate back with someone when you really just need the rest and to just chill a little bit, right? But anyone have a hard time sitting still? I remember one time I was sitting on the beach. I was enjoying the sun. I was enjoying the ocean. I was enjoying the sand. I love sand on my feet. If y'all don't like sand, don't go to the beach. But my mind was racing. Did I forget something? What do I have to do, or will it be okay until I get back? And what do I going to have to do when I get back? Then the Lord reminded me, he said, I gave you this time to rest and to be still. And during that time, I found some notes on Psalms 46. So I'm going to convey what the Lord spoke to me that time. The title of this is, How Can We Rest in God? Psalms 46:1 says this, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present time in trouble. How can we rest in God? Number one, know that he is our refuge. God is saying here, when you can't find safety, remember that he is our refuge. We started refuge like 16 years ago. And it was supposed to be for adults, and we went and knocked on doors. But you know the real reason we started and we came up with the name The Refuge is because we wanted people to experience. No, let me back up. We wanted people to come to the Lord who'd messed up, who'd made mistakes, who'd been divorced, who'd been just beaten up with life. We wanted them to come into a real place where they could find refuge and strength and safety without judgment. Listen. You got imperfect pastors in this place right now. There's a bunch of imperfect leadership in this place right now. But thank God that he sees us for who we are going to be, not for who we are. But it was a place. Refuge means a safe place, a shelter from danger. We live in this mixed up world, and a lot of people have made mistakes, and they've made bad choices, and they've hurt some. I never blamed God for anything in my life. I've never blamed God. Do you know why I've never blamed God? Because most of the things that I've done in my life, I caused. Come on. Sometimes we want to blame God, and we want to put the blame over on him. We want to say, oh, if you had... No. Most of the time, if you'll go back... Now, listen, there are some things that have happened in our life that were kind of out of our control. We have questions. I said this a few weeks ago. It's okay to ask questions of God. It's okay to ask why, God, why. But a lot of times, if we self-reflect, this is for somebody. If you self-reflect, most of the things you've went through in your life are caused because you chose to do those things or choose to go through those things. I'm getting an amen on that one because that's my life. Mike, you're perfect now, so you're good. So. But people spend thousands of dollars on storm shelters for the natural events and for protection. But we must know that God is our refuge and our strength. You have to know that you can hide in him. You can be safe when danger is all around. Danger, Will Robinson. There's a big brother that stands behind you. I remember this. We were in 7th and 8th grade, and there was this boy. I don't even know how many grades he failed. But he was bigger than the rest of us. He was meaner than the rest of us. He was scary, really scary. And he picked on us all the time. I wasn't always this big. I was a little bit runt until I got in high school. But what happened was is he tormented us a lot of times because he was so much bigger. But the next year we went to high school. Come on, somebody. I had a cousin who was mean. I had a cousin who was bad. I had a cousin who was big. And he said, here's what you need to do. Me and my other cousin, he was the same age I was. He said, when he comes in the door, you point him out to me. Woo! His life was never the same after that in high school. Because you know what? I had a big brother. I had a big cousin to stand behind and say, yeah, take that, you. You've been picking on me for 2 years. That's how God is. He's your brother. He's standing with you all the time. He's coming behind you saying, I got this. You're trying to figure it out. I got this. Don't worry about it. I'm your safe place. I am your protection. I am the one that you need. You can come and stand behind me, with me, wherever you want to stand, but I'm with you always. When your life feels like a war zone and your mind's going 100 miles an hour and you're trying to find the perfect solution to the problem. I feel like jumping this morning. Last week I felt like walking. I feel like jumping this morning. But when you're trying to find, listen to me, the perfect solution for the problem, What you need to do is stop. You need to pause. And you need to remember that God is your refuge and God is your safe place. He is that loving Father that's sitting on the porch waiting for you to come back. Not with condemnation, not with telling you I told you so's, but the Father that's sitting there waiting on you to come back with arms open wide and loving. Come on, I listened to a podcast this week. It was talking about the Father, and it was so good that God is our Father. If we could get our minds wrapped around that He is a Father, He loves you, Skylar. Even though you mess up sometimes, He loves you. He loves you, Josh. Even though you're Josh sometimes, He still loves you. Because you have to put up with Amy, and we understand that. But if we could wrap our minds around the identity of the Father, we would understand that He loves us because we are His children. I said that I'm giving y'all, we may be here for an hour. But when Jesus went down under the water, I said this a couple weeks ago, you know, He hadn't done anything big. He not healed anybody. He hadn't done anything grandiose yet. But He said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." He affirmed Him before He ever did it. He affirms you every day. Somebody's got to understand that He loves you. He cherishes you. You are the apple of His eye. You are the one and only. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm telling you this morning, God doesn't see you the way you see yourself. Woo! He is our refuge. And number two, He is our strength. You can work out. You can run. You can eat right. This was not the diet plan that I had in mind, but I'll take advantage of 10 or 15 less pounds. But you can increase your physical strength. But how do we get spiritual and emotional strength in our moments of weakness? We have to recognize this, that God is our strength. Isaiah 40:29 says this. He gives, y'all gotta just soak this in. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases their strength. In those weak, vulnerable, private moments when you just received a surprising phone call, when you got a bad diagnosis, when you lost a relationship, or you might have lost a job, you can rest in knowing that He is your strength. He's your strength as you mourn, because it's okay to mourn. He's your strength when you're crying, because it's okay to cry. He's your strength even when you're angry. He's your strength. Paul needed strength. And he said, "Please, God, take this away from me. This thorn, we don't know 100% what it is, but there was something bothering Paul." And he said, "God, can you take this away from me?" And you know what Jesus said to him? Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Because, he said, I work better when you're weak. I work better when you're weak. I work better when you need me. I work better when, come on, somebody. Whoo. Moses, he needed strength to speak to Pharaoh. He said he needed strength to lead those people out of bondage. And God said, "Go, and I will provide you everything that you need." Sometimes we just need to listen. Sometimes we just need to obey. Sometimes we just need to trust. And we need to learn how to rest in Him. Number three, He is our very present help. It says very present. Very present. When you've done all you can do and you can't do, I stand till I can't stand no more. That's Popeye. When you've done all you can do and you can't do it anymore, C.S. Lewis says this, God whispers, you got to hear this. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience. And He shouts to us in our pain. God can use our pain to get our attention. How many of you guys draw closer to God when times are good, right? One of you. That's good. But what about when all hell's breaking loose in your life? What happens when you get sick and your kids are acting crazy? Is that the time that we really resort to say, God, oh, Jesus, I need you. Oh, there's been times over these last few weeks, Jesus, I need you. I need you. And he was like, why haven't you needed me? I'm just being honest this morning. Why haven't you needed me for these last months or these last years? But yeah, you're laying in a bed and you're saying, Jesus, I need you. But here's the thing about a loving God. He refreshed me one night when I was in the hospital. He said, I'm still here with you. Yeah, you might have neglected. You might have not done everything that I've called you to do, but I'm still here for you. I'm still here with you. Come on. He doesn't give up on us, Charles. He's always going that extra mile for us because he cares for us. Jesus, I need you. He said, I want you to need me 7 days a week. I want you to need me 24 hours a day. I need you to need me when you don't feel like you need me, need me. Let me tell you something I've done, and I've been very good. I don't even look at my phone anymore until I've prayed, till my feet have hit the floor, till I've done the things that I know I should be doing before I put that ahead of God. And those things right there will change your life. It's changed my last couple weeks anyway. And those are all things that you can get in a habit of doing. You got to get in a habit of doing right. You've gotten in the habit of doing wrong for so many years, but sometimes you have to force yourself to do the right thing each and every day. Imagine being in a desperate situation, calling for help, but not having the confidence that anyone is even hearing you or listening to you. She talked me into watching a few years ago, Message in a Bottle. It's a chick flick. I like chick flicks. But can you imagine putting a letter in a bottle and just casting it into the water, hoping that one day someone will hear it or someone will pull it out and someone will read it? Sometimes our prayers feel like a message in a bottle, don't they? We cry out for help. And we have no idea if our message will ever reach someone or the person who picks it up will even care to act upon it. But fortunately, prayer is not like that. God hears. God cares. God hears. God cares. I'm going to say that for the back row. God hears and he cares. Keep praying. There's things you've been praying for. This last couple weeks, I've been praying really, really hard for some situations that are in my life right now that almost feel impossible. But God says, keep praying, keep believing, keep knowing. God says he goes before us a lot of times, and he's going before me right now. He's going before us right now, and he's going to change some situations. We're going to start seeing a change because he hears and he cares. So keep praying for that thing. Keep praying for your kids to come back to Jesus. Keep praying for your situation at home. Keep praying those things because God can do it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Sometimes you just got to get a verse. He cares for you. He loves you. But I love what it says. He's a very present and very is an intensifier, not usually used with present. Because you're either here or you're not here, right? That means he's very present. But the writer of this psalm wants us to not undervalue God's presence. He's very present when you're in trouble, when everything around you is falling apart, God is there. When the world is crumbling, God is there. When you're fighting situations and circumstances, you got to know that God is there and he hears you. Come on, I'm speaking to someone in the crowd right now. You feel like God's not listening to you. He's listening. Sometimes we have to change our language towards him. Sometimes he wants to hear our full hearts. I've said this before. God already knows what you're thinking. God already knows what you're going through. So sometimes he just wants to hear you verbalize it and say it to him in your voice. But he's a very present. What can we do in a practical sense when we're going through these things? We just need to pause. Take a Selah. Take a chill. And just say, okay, God, I'm here. Wherever you are, too, it can be in your car. It could be at your workplace. Come on, some of y'all got some stressful stuff going on at work. It could be those moments in your workplace to say, God, I need you now. Are you hearing me, God? And here's a big thing. Give thanks for anything and everything God has blessed you with. Gratitude, come on, saying thankful and being gratitude changes your focus. And you got to be mindful that God said he's very present when you need him. Look at Psalms 46:2. I'm getting the whole book of Psalms today. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the ocean roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. When the storms of life comes, who are you going to place your faith in? Are you going to look at the storm, the one thing, or the one that calms the storm? Are you going to look at the doctor's report or are you going to look at the great physician's report? Come on, are you going to look at your financial problems and or are you going to look to the one that owns a cattle on a thousand hills? Somebody, come on, somebody, you said this earlier. Sometimes you're looking at your finances and you're thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. My father owns a cattle on a thousand hills, so he's about to cash a couple of them in for you. That's the practical. Y'all like beef. It's what's for dinner. When it comes to God, late is still on time. When it comes to God, late is still on time. Sometimes he doesn't answer you when you first ask. But what he wants you to do is he wants you to keep asking. He wants you to keep seeking. He wants you to keep knocking. He wants to see how persistent you're going to be. And listen, he's never late. He's always on time. Sometimes in your life, if he would have gave you what you've been praying, if he would have gave you what you've been praying for, you might not have been able to handle it in that situation. Come on, you say, God, you can do this in my life. Your character can't hold you. It can't keep you. If I give it to you now, you're going to mess it up. And I'm preaching to me on a lot of cases like this. But God says, if you just wait, I'm never late. I'm always on time. Sometimes we got to just activate our faith. The Bible says, I'm reading the book of James right now. Oh, you want to get saved all over again? You need to read the book of James because, ooh, it'll tear you up. Right, Eddie? Book of James will get you, won't it? But it says, faith without works is dead. Sometimes we just got to step out of our comfort zone. We got to move even when we don't feel like it. You got to believe it when you don't even see it. That's what faith does. When your faith is activated, fears and worry and doubt, they start to fade. They may not go away all at once like that, but you'll start, well, I was worried about that. That's not as big a deal as I thought it was going to be. I doubted about that, but now I'm starting to see that that is possible because we serve a God that makes all things possible. Activating our faith is knowing he is on our side. And let me just encourage you this morning. He is undefeated. If he is for you, who can be against you? He's the God that goes before you and fights your battles, even... He's fought things way before you ever knew you had to get in a fight over them. He's been in front of you this whole time. Even though I walk through the valley, he had to remind me of this morning. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God, you are the one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Honestly, I could have died. And when you get that, You know, they say your life flashes before you. No, I didn't see that. But I did. I don't even know how to describe it. I knew there was something that was different. And God sometimes can take that to shake you and make you wake up just a little bit. To know. God didn't put no sickness on me. We live in a fallen world. But because of that, I had to be able to rely on him and to trust in him and know that, God, you are there. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Sometimes you just got to stand on the promises of God. I know this is deep. This is rich this morning. But sometimes you just got to stand on those promises even when it doesn't look yet. I've said this before. The valley is made to walk through, not camp out in. And so many times we camp out in the valley where woe is me valley, and we pitch our tent in a place where of pity and despair and doubt. And I, you know what? I didn't really feel sorry for myself. I just said, God, I don't know what you're going to teach me through this, but teach me something. And man, did he not. He didn't. He taught me a lot. I just know that God is a very present help in your time. The most effective weapon the enemy has over you when you're in a battle is not showing up. This is how I fight my battles. I don't fight my battles in my own strength, because most of the time I'm gonna mess that up. I don't fight my battles with self-help, because I need God to help me. I fight my battles. I was laying in that hospital bed, and Pastor Mindy had went home that first night. I'm flipping through the channels. Half of them were in Spanish. I needed a translator. Then I flipped over to TBN. And there was a praise and a worship session going on in Nashville, Tennessee. And one of the songs they sang, "This is how I fight my battles." God had to remind me, this battle is not yours, it's mine. This is how I fight my battles. I think so much each and every day, Lindsay, we need to get up and say, God, I need you to fight my battles today because I'm weak. I need you to fight my battles because I don't really have a strategy for them. I have found out, y'all, I don't really have as much of a strategy as I once thought I had. God, I think God would prefer that in me and prefer that in us. Not to have, listen, you got to have plans. You got to have visions and dreams. But I think so many times we strategize in our mind each and every day what all we got to get done. And God says, no, just take a rest. And with everything the enemy meant for evil, God can still turn it around for the good. I'm almost done. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Be still and know that I am God. What is God trying to say in this verse? If you walk up to people today, they'll say, "Phew, I'm tired. I'm beat. I'm worn out." And we're trained in society to feel this way. We live in a time of history, and maybe living in a time today where we place value on more things, more money, more multitasking, more doing, more distractions than ever before, pulling us this way and pulling us that way. And it makes us feel tired. That's why we're beat up at the end of the day. We're tired all the time, and it's not by accident. Because prophetic scripture speaks of a time coming, and some may be seeing it now a little bit. I'm using the King James because I love how it works. This. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints. Do we not have that one? I wanted you to see that movie. That he'll wear out the saints. That's what he's trying to do right now. His goal is to wear you out, wear you down, wear you. He's under attack to steal your rest. He's under attack to steal your peace. He's under attack to kill whatever the enemy, whatever God is trying to do in your life, to destroy your relationships, but mostly not relationships around you. Because when the one main relationship gets messed up, which is with him, that's when you suffer the rest of the consequences. It's working. We focus on things. We take our focus off of God. I'm guilty of this. We have a lot of time to do a lot of things. We have a lot of times to do things we want to do, correct? We're pretty selfish. I am. And busyness and distraction, they drain us. They keep us stuck. It's like running on a, you've seen a hamster running on a treadmill. I mean, it's like how I feel running on a treadmill. I'm not getting anywhere. Why am I doing this? That's how our life is. That hamster just spinning that thing, and he's toiling. He's trying his best, but he's never getting anywhere. And when I say the word rest, what does that even mean? Our definition is like sleeping and laying around and vegging out watching Netflix, going on vacation. Naps are from the Lord. But the way we fight against this is long, but it's good, is we learn how to rest and be still. The Hebrew word noach, it was derived from Noah's name. The core meaning of noach signifies a state of rest or ceasing from activity. It can mean settling down and remaining, reclining, and finding a state of rest. It also could mean being quiet. Sometimes we talk too much. And being still. But in the English, it means to relax. It means the absence of work. It means to be at peace. I think sometimes what we just need to do is we need to slow down and allow God to speak to us. Taking ourselves, come on, out of the center of the equation and putting God where he needs to be in the middle of it. So many times we pull God, we put him over here, we put him over here. Y'all can come on up. I'm almost done. I said that 10 minutes ago. But taking ourselves out of the center of everything and putting the one that needs to be in the center back in the center. I feel like that, I'm just being vulnerable. I feel like I've done that in the last couple weeks. Not that I had all this gross junk in my life, but there was some times I had just forgotten how good God had been to me, how good he's been to us. And like so many times, the old covenants that had strict relations, you know, they had strict requirements. You could die if you didn't keep the Sabbath. But Jesus finished the work when he said, "It is done," a new covenant. It was not by the works of the law anymore. Even though it's not a strict thing to say you're going to die if you don't chill on the Sabbath, I believe that God built it for a purpose because he wants us to know that he is God. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 say this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Listen to this one. "And lean not to your own understanding," because that'll get you in trouble. "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Trusting God is a roadmap. Trusting God in faith is resting and knowing that he's got you. Jesus, stop trying to take control of your own life. Relinquish your need to be in control, or try to figure out the next steps or what the next week is going to look like, or the next month is going to look like. Again, you should have plans, you should have dreams, you should have visions. But when it consumes your mind, where your mind's going 100 miles an hour all of the time, that's when it needs to change right there. Being still doesn't mean being silenced, but it means stop arguing with God. Quit worrying about everything and start surrendering it to him. The reason why a lot of us can't surrender is because we don't remember. We can't surrender because we don't remember how, we can't remember what God's done in our lives. Make time to be still and to restore your soul. Be still doesn't mean doing nothing. I was literally being still on the beach. I wasn't moving, but my mind was still going 100 miles an hour. It means quieting your mind from the chaos of life, from the distractions. When's the best time to be still? Are you a morning person? I have to be. I live with my wife. Or are you a night owl? I think you have to find that time in your day to be still and know that He's God. Being still with God does this. It keeps you in tune to His voice. There's nothing more annoying than my Toyota where they mess with my radio. Trying to get that thing in tune. And they're static. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. You're trying to hear that song. That's my favorite song. But when we have the distractions of God, with the distractions around us, it's like being out of tune with God. It's like being in that radio going, man, I can't quite hear what you're saying. It's annoying me. Come on, we got to get in tune with what God is saying and what He's speaking and what He's going. There's a time coming right now that we're going to have to be more in tune than we've ever been in tune with the Holy Ghost right now. We're going to have to listen and learn and go and be what He's called us to be without asking, without. So many times, why, God, why? Sometimes God just said, go, 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 and I'll tell you when you get there. That's hard for me. You notice this song begins with, God is our refuge. He's our strength. And I love what it ends with, Psalm 46:11. And the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Is that one not up there? Now it is. Selah. That tells us that we begin the day with God. Until we end the day with God. But God needs to get some time from the beginning to the end. He needs those moments in your day to say, God, I've been saying thank you, Jesus, more than I've ever said thank you, Jesus, in my whole life. It's because I have an attitude of gratitude. I say thank you, God, so much every day for the breath that I take. Thank you, God, so much for this. Even though it hurts, even though I don't understand it, I thank you for it because you are going to take this pain and turn it into something that you can use. Jesus made it clear that the Sabbath was for man. Rest is not a luxury. It's a necessity. God wants us to function on every ounce of being that we can be. We weren't created to run 24/7. When we do, we don't become more spiritual. We become more broken. And this is something I added in there. God allows some of us to burn out. Thank you, Jesus. Not as punishment, but as rescue. Say that again. God gave that to me. He didn't do it as punishment. He did it as a rescue. So I care enough for you. Sometimes He lets us crash. And we finally stop going. Sometimes He forces us because we refuse to choose it ourselves. Here's a better idea. Rest before you break. Matthew 11, last one. I said that a long time. Are you tired? Listen, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. Oh, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly put down the phone. End the workday. You got to trust God that he can handle things for the few hours you're going to sleep here in just a little bit. Come on, he can do it. He's very possible of doing it. He's very good at doing that. God is more concerned with your wholeness than he is with your productivity. And you don't have to prove your worth by working all the time. Rest isn't rebellion, or lazy isn't rebellion. It's all a part of God's design. Let's all stand if we would, please. I knew this was going to be a little longer because God just kept adding stuff. I said, Lord, are you sure? He said, add it. Add it. But I'm going to ask you this morning, do you need rest this morning? And I'm not solely talking about a physical rest. I'm talking about a spirit. I'm asking for both. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe you've been working 7 days a week. Maybe you've been going and going and going. You just need a rest in the physical. But God is concerned about your spiritual rest this morning. True rest, it comes from knowing God and having a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus is what gives you rest. Can I tell you this morning, you may have heard it before, but Jesus died for you. He loves you enough that he went to the cross for you. He laid his own life down for you. And this morning, if you'd like to get to know him and have a personal relationship with him to find the real rest, you can confess with your mouth and say, Jesus, I've sinned. Please forgive me. I did that in the hospital room. I repented. God, I've sinned. I've not done everything that I should be doing for you, God. I've neglected. The Bible says, how can they escape if they neglect so great a salvation? I felt like I neglected my salvation. I neglected the things that really meant anything. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that you are the Son of God, you can ask him to take control of your life, to give you that rest that you need. What you've been pursuing, what you've been going after, God says, I got it here for you, but it's in me. There'll be someone on the prayer team on the left and the right up here if you need someone to agree with you and pray with you. But I'm also going to talk to the church. Maybe you're needing refuge and strength today. Maybe your life has kind of been feeling chaotic and it's been full of stress and it's been hurtful lately. I want you to remember this. He's a very present help in times of trouble. A very present help. I think this morning you just need to come to Jesus. And you know, these altars are going to be open, not just for salvation, but if you need a rest in God, maybe this next worship song, you can just say, God, I'm going to lift my hands to you. I'm going to release to you. I'm going to give to you what I've been holding on to. That's not necessarily sin, but maybe you've been holding on to worry and doubt and fear. God said this morning, I want to release that in you in Jesus' name.
If you made it this far, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed that you took the time out of your day to spend it with us. We love you so much. And if you want more resources, please go to rcitychurch.online. We love you so much. Have a good one.